Approval of October meeting minutes.
I wasn't here, but I have read the minutes. Is it appropriate for me to approve?
You may wanna...
I can second if he moves.
Yeah, okay, why don't you have him?
I'll move.
Yeah.
Do we approve those minutes?
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on.
Staff report.
Staff report, Dusty, would you like to go in?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So our posting to social media was that we livestreamed our meeting on Facebook and we put it on YouTube, that we posted our November meeting agenda. We posted our notice that the budget was available for public viewing on the website. We posted our grant award winners and we shared the media stories that came along with the press release of announcing our grant award winners, and we thanked our veterans. So the media that we got from our grant awards was from CARIEX, that Colburn Builds Partnership to Bring Broadband to Plateau Valley. KKCO and KJCT shared about the broadband internet coming to Colburn. And Grand Junction Sentinel shared that grant awards for Plateau Valley Broadband and East Orchard Mesa Fire District. And then they also used that to do an op-ed for a ballot measure on the upcoming election for the broadband issue. So they mentioned us and the recent award that we gave them to help that out. So those were our media mentions. We don't have any grants requesting payment at this time. Just a reminder, our DOLA payment was $493 and we'll be dealing with the budget. $493,224.26.
Be in trouble.
Just to be correct. And our invoices for October were Dusty Reimer for services and supplies for $2,974.98. Ide Bailey for services for $1,484.85. Dufford Waldeck for services for $1,339.50. And ACS invoice for hosting services for the rest of the year for $29.90. My invoice was just an update again. So the post office check wasn't signed. When I got it back from the post office, it was due. And so I just, to avoid late fees, I just paid it on my card and then submitted it again. I have the check. Christine didn't have to do a stop payment or anything, so that's why that's a little bit higher for reimbursement. So I apologize about that. Our upcoming events is that our budget approval is required by December 31st. Our next board meeting will be January 19th at 2 p.m. And then the following board meeting after that will be April 20th at 2 p.m. And I did send out all the meeting notices to everybody for your calendar appointments. And I did check with Linda for the room for the rest of the year for 2020. So we are booked and ready to go. We'll go to quarterly meetings and then we'll pick up again the fall next year. And that's it.
And hope for more money next year.
Yes, and hope for more money.
Gas prices are up.
Yes, yeah, they are up. Everything is up.
We've seen how delayed are our DOLA payments? Do you guys know?
It's kind of like a year and a half.
It's a year and a half, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, and I'm judging from my payments that I get, obviously everything was way up in February. February numbers were up, but then they gradually went up starting. They stayed up a little bit after February, and they gradually went up, and we're obviously today we've been consistently been at $5 gas prices for 2 or 3 months now.
Yeah.
So we should see
a bump,
a significant bump in our income.
And it's got to go up from here, considering what time of year we're in, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It'll typically. Yes. It's raised up.
Yeah.
See what happens. This
yeah, when you think it was $2 gas for a while.
The biggest challenge is our funds come from minerals that are drilled on in Mace County. And our state of Colorado is not issuing permits to drill. So until they get their new regulations all figured out. So that ever comes across where you have an opportunity to comment, that is very important.
On private Or public or both?
All of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if they had their act together, there could be public or private, but no public because of the national moratorium, right?
No, there's still a lot of federal lands that are currently under lease at both. There could be both. But what they've, as far as permits applied for and permits issued, it is a fraction of ones they processed. And when I say a fraction, we're talking below 5%.
Do you suppose that has something to do with $5 natural gas?
You know, it's, we're getting a little political. We're missing a huge opportunity right now. We are missing the boat in Colorado on both our federal and private level.
Yep.
And they talk about, the media talk about federal land, but it's not federal land, it's federal minerals.
Right.
And some of those federal minerals are on private land.
There's a lot of that. Most of that was severed anytime you had a patent. So you've got a lot of federal minerals.
What was the year? And any patents after?
Like 1908 or something like that.
The federal government kept some of the minerals. Mm-hmm. So if you patented 640 acres after a certain day, the federal government would keep a third of those or half of those. I think it was a half.
Yeah, it varies.
It varied along the way. They would keep that. So you do have a lot of, especially up in Eagle County was one of the later counties, homestead. So in Eagle County, you have a checkerboard of federal and private minerals. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we need the permits. We need the drilling to keep up. Right now, the price is up, but production is falling off. So we need the permits to keep that production, keep our money coming in.
Yeah.
All right. Motion to approve the staff report and bills this morning.
So move.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Well, let's review our financials.
We have money. Our total fund balance is $1,253,511.55. The ending balance in the permanent fund was $2,215,742, and this is as of October 31st. Our grants payable were still the same at $200,000, so the grants that were approved will be put in, which you guys will sign the contracts if you approve them today. Well, they are approved, so they'll be added in there. So we have the $300,000 for Colburn, and then we have the $50,000 for East Orchard Mesa that'll be added into this. The checks that were wrote last month, except for the post office, were cashed. We had legal fees of $370.50, contract services for $266,000. We had dues and memberships of $24.98, operations for $29.90, and then supplies for $33.79. Unrealized gain or loss in the permanent fund was $73,799.98. Dividend income was $1,253.48, and investment fees were $4,517.13. And these are our budget to actuals. Go down?
Yeah, you go in.
Okay.
I was just.
No, that's fine.
We're within our.
Yeah, I think so.
Our boundaries there as far as, kind of what.
10%?
Yes.
It's based off of.
The statute.
Yeah, the statute, it says you can spend 10% on it, of your revenue on administration.
Right. But there's some exceptions on that. Which ones are accepted out?
Well, contributions to the permanent fund.
Yeah, that's not it. That's right. Essentially part of, that's part of your revenue. That's not a, not an expenditure.
And I don't think the investment fees are part of that.
I don't think they
are. Yeah, probably not. I don't think that's right. I think that they're not, yeah, they're not part of our administrative expense.
That's what I was searching for. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, because they come from.
On the other hand, does interest in dividend income count as revenue?
Yeah, counts as revenue. Yeah. You know, it's funny because we have all that unrealized gain from the subsequent investment of our funds. The 10% rule is referring to 10% of the allocation that we receive from the state,
right.
Essentially. So yeah, I don't think you
can't keep an unallocated gain. You can't count unallocated gain, right?
Well. I don't think it counts for purposes of increasing your allocation, your revenue factor from the state. I mean, it is, in fact, it's, for accounting purposes, it's revenue. It's unrealized, but I don't think I would include that in our determination of the ratio of revenue to overhead.
We can't count that until we've taken that gain.
Yeah. I think that's right, yeah.
So where are we at?
Yeah, we're, that's a good question. Well, let's see, if we've got our total.
Go on up, please.
You know, gross revenue, what is that,
493,224.
And what's our total, our budgeted expenditures for?
450.
Yeah.
No.
It's 40, is it
45,000? 43.
Yeah, 42,939.
Yeah.
And so.
It looks like we're yeah, it looks like we're okay.
2 months to go.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. We don't need to make any adjustments. All right. Any other questions on that?
No, sir. You need a motion?
Yep.
I move for the approval of the financial report for October.
Oh, second. All in favor? Yeah.
Aye.
Sorry, he said thank you.
Hey, your name is?
Yeah.
That's the month-end statement, so I guess current balance is about just shy of 2.25 million. Mark was down a little bit today, so I'd say 2.4 or 5 million. It's a gain of 650,000-ish since inception. So far, year to date, we're about 12.3%. And I think the most important thing is we rebalanced. We got to that 65% maximum equity allocation. We rebalanced back down, but now we just barely
tap
it again. Yeah, I know there's some leeway there, but I think we'll go ahead and probably do a rebalance soon to get it back down to around 60.
Clock in those gains anyway.
What's that?
You sell some stuff to get.
It's funny. Everybody feels really good when I tell them we're doing that. Like let's. It's like take a little bit off the table, I guess. I don't see anything in the market that says there has to be a decline, and I think that's something a lot of people worry about, but it does feel good to say, okay, we'll pull back a little bit. I think one of the things, we're across the board, we've adjusted allocations back. So our moderate portfolio was, I guess at the beginning of this year, was 65% equity, and about 2 months ago, we set that target back to 59%. And I think it's not necessarily us saying there's a downturn. It's saying valuations are high, that the probability of increased returns going forward is lower. And then people are closer to their financial goals now. So taking a little bit less, we've had really incredible returns the last 3 years. So taking a little bit back and saying, okay, we are ahead of where we thought we would be at this point in time. So let's not get greedy.
Of course, you got to start worrying about inflation.
Yeah, inflation's always the concern. That's probably the top headline right now. The thing that, at least historically, what hits markets hard, equity markets hard, isn't expected inflation, it's unexpected inflation. So we haven't seen that in 30, 40 years, and I'm not sure we have unexpected inflation again, and that's why I think equities are holding their value, because at the end of the day, that's your pass-through for inflation. And I guess some sectors can pass through faster than others, but over time, equity should be your good hedge for inflation. It's the bonds that get hit. So we have, I guess the minimum, we try to keep pretty much the minimum allocation of bonds in your portfolio that we can. And then within that, it's short duration and safe. It's essentially, a lot of it's even, a cash replacement. It's like money market short duration stuff that yields 1.5%, but so it's not great, but it's better than sitting in cash.
You see equities, the investments in different types of equities with the where's the push going to be? What type of equities are going to get pushed with the inflation?
Or the
inflation? High equities going to be with inflation?
It hits tech the hardest. So I think technology is the one that would get hit the most. Because if you think equity is just ownership in a company, and in simple terms, if they have assets that you don't have to go out and continually buy, like an oil company, those rigs are in place. So now all of a sudden, go buying a new rig is a lot more expensive. Well, a lot of them already have them, and the values of those equities are going up with inflation almost immediately. And then you have the elasticity of demand of the service that or good or service that they provide is what determines the pass through, right? So if what that means is if you need it, they'll pass through the inflation, no problem. So like a perfectly inelastic good would be like insulin, where it doesn't matter what your price is, people have to have it to live. So it's gonna pass through inflation immediately. Your consumer discretionary is not as elastic, so that's the stuff people can do without, or you have replacement goods. So you would say, okay, the price of hamburger just went up 5 times, so I'll eat chicken, so it's easy substitute, right? So anytime there's something like that, it's harder to pass through inflation. And so we can position those sectors a little bit, but I don't think, I think this is kind of expected inflation. People know it's there, so it's not like we got broadsided with inflation more than nobody knew it was coming. And I guess there's a lot of theories about it too. Is it cost push, or is it a supply, like a labor shortage that's causing it? So that's the stuff economists just go back and forth on. I think for what we're doing, keeping your equity allocation close to the max is good. But I think if we pull back that kind of 5%, it's gives us, so you're not constantly rebalancing around that 65% too. I'm amazed when I hear the inflation numbers, because they're always like, you know, it's 4% or 5%. I mean, I get a coffee and a bagel is $7 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know they have their measures of that stuff, but I mean, I booked a vacation for my family that used to be $350 round trip ticket per person, and now it was $700 round trip ticket per person. And that's over the course of a year, or year, 2 years, I guess.
What did they tell you to eat your house?
It's just going to the grocery store, is that right too?
It's interesting. I mean,
it's $100 every time for 3 days.
Oil. You might know more about this than me, but when oil was the last time gas was $3.55 a gallon, oil was $120 a barrel. And now it's, what, 75, the high 70s, and we're $3.55 a gallon. So I guess you'd say the refiners might be making more money, but there's also got to be some labor and costs in there.
The costs of getting things to market are so much more than they were, and of course that industry is going through the same struggles everybody else is going through, is labor, getting it to market. There's a lot of bottlenecks getting product to market right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
buy your Christmas presents
early.
Yeah.
Done.
Like Dusty.
Shut off the million pipeline.
See, you're staying ahead of inflation by buying early.
I was watching and I saw it coming, and so I'm done.
The difference is, this is an entirely different world than in the 1970s and 1980s. It's entirely different.
I agree. And unemployment's the biggest one for me, because in the 70s, there weren't jobs. So it was like you could go to a person and say, I have a good job, you work hard, and you'll make some money, and people would line up for that.
And you stay with that.
And they couldn't find them. But now, there's so many jobs, and what we're seeing, what the feedback I get from my clients who own businesses and stuff is they have a tough time because people are applying just so they can keep their unemployment. They don't really want the job, and so they're basically saying, "Here's an application." They're not really serious. They're totally different industries than these people have experience in. But at least it's like, hey, I can show I applied for this job, so I can keep the unemployment going, and so the jobs are there. Yeah, it's a totally different world.
Mm-hmm. And the supply chains are totally different.
Yeah.
It's an entirely, you know, it was, I was there. You know, they had no ability in the 70s and 80s to source where they were going to make something. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, China, you don't want to make this chair? Well, Vietnam, you know, Thailand, they're, you know, India, there's a list of countries that are happy to make these chairs.
They have the facilities to do that.
And we, you know, with the technology, we're just more efficient. That's what happened is everything got shut down. And people will figure it out.
Yeah.
You hear any employment predictions as far as when people are going to start going back to work, as far as the
nobody knows.
I think the lack of the administration, I won't get political, but the lack of our administration's understanding of incentives is very disturbing to me, because they don't understand that nobody wants to go back to work if you can't even stay home. You can't just say there's a supply chain problem, hey, somebody go hire more workers. And then the using the tax code, because we're a CPA firm as well, as a means of wealth redistribution as a priority rather than an incentive system to say here's the behavior we want to incentivize is a big problem, because if some of the legislation, which it looks like is just getting weakened and weakened, so that's a relief. But it was the tax proposal was incredibly anti-business, which is a bigger long-term problem. So,
well, according to the media, trickle-down economics didn't work.
Yeah. What didn't work was the name. I shouldn't have called it that.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said it called.
Bad name, yes, yeah, very bad name.
Call it like something like good, you know. Yeah. It doesn't make it sound like you're getting the scraps.
Right.
Yeah. I think the media coined that phrase.
I can't remember.
I don't think that was the...
I don't remember ever hearing Reagan say that.
I don't think that was an administrative term. I think that was the media coined.
The media, yeah. However it got the name. Yeah.
I think the most fascinating part to me about this employment situation is the devastation that it's done to women. You know, because participation rate, we just last year got back, you know, to where I mean it was very, very good, and it was because of women, or more women working than men. Which, and anybody that is in a workplace knows the women are doing all the work anyway. But it's going to be fascinating to see if that changed behavior where family said, okay, one of us is going to stay home because we figured this out. The incentives, the whatever, I don't know. But on the other hand, you've got all these people buying more and more expensive homes. And hell, 2 years ago, it took two incomes to buy these homes. How are they not going to, how are women not going to be able to re-enter the workforce? But I spent last week at bank meetings, and it's kind of one of their economist panel in one session, and these guys are they're pretty high up people. I've seen them, you know, most of them on TV, and their consensus was, don't make any bets based upon where we are now. Don't do it. That this pandemics come along every 100 years,
right.
And to make the assumption that behavior has changed permanently because of the last 18 months is a really bad bet. We're going to go back to being doing what we did before and being who we were before, and but by the same token, that question was asked very directly about what is going to happen with the employment situation. There's not a single one of them that said. The consensus was, we don't know. You know,
people will not never go back to work.
There were 2 million people that retired.
Right.
And there's a big question mark out there in his world. Can those people actually afford to retire, or are they 5 or 6 years from now going to have to try and re-enter the workforce?
Because they spent their savings.
I think a lot of them.
Because everything's so expensive.
I mean, we've seen it before where a big group of people retire,
mm-hmm.
and then they've got to come back and re-enter the workforce to make ends meet.
Right.
They've seen it go too fast.
I can imagine. That, good luck, because the world changes so fast, you're going to be obsolete 2 years out of the workforce.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And so their consensus was, what these 6 million people are going to do and how they're going to do it is a fool's bet to make.
The number I saw the other day is, you know, working age men has always been a big economic, and with only 60% of working age men are currently employed.
Wow.
Now, taking the fact that some of those are working under the table, some of those are...
Now, are you confusing working with being paid?
Well, yeah. Officially working, yeah.
So we're
it's a labor
taxpayer.
The participation rate.
Fall in?
Officially paying taxes on the payroll somewhere, but yeah, only 60% working age. Yeah, that's an all time low, as I remember.
What is it average? What, like, on like, What would it normally have
been? Well, steadily gone down, but I, you know, last time I ever paid any attention to that number, it was up in the high 70s.
Well, that's a big drop.
Does that sound right? Do you ever pay attention to that number?
How much? No. Workforce participation, but not the details of it.
Yeah, that was the number that...
The long-term trend in the United States is a struggle, that we're looking like Japan, where our workforce is getting old and it's not being replenished.
Mm-hmm.
Our population growth is pretty much negative. It's slightly negative if you don't count immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have that kind of long-term. If you don't have population growth, then productivity is the way to go for GDP growth.
Yep.
And we've had a lot of productivity, so that's carried it for sure, and that hopefully continues.
I did hear something that has nothing to do with the federal mineral leasing district, but I heard something that made me feel better. There was a discussion about commercial real estate values and this question of everybody's working from home, nobody wants to be back in the office, that law firms don't need these big suites of offices.
We've been having these discussions.
Da, 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 da. And they had some fascinating statistics. So they looked at, which didn't surprise me any, they didn't care about the baby boomers, didn't really give a shit about, about their opinion.
We're out of the picture now.
But so they looked at generations, Generation X, the millennials, and Gen Z, and did a significant, I think it was close to 100,000 people in this survey that they talked to, those three generations. Guess which one wants back in the office?
Millennials.
Z.
Z.
The kids coming up behind the millennials. They're going to be the anti-millennial crowd.
Hey.
But they're saying...
So that's the youngest workers right now.
Yes. That's a 20 to 20.
That's interesting.
And the reasoning is, how do we get noticed? How do we, make a difference in our company?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get promoted? How do we get noticed working from home? We got to be in the office, and whereas the Gen X and the millennials are saying, this is sort of good for us. But so, because you think these kids, and I was like, you know what? Maybe there is hope.
So, that same thing happened. I was an early 80s kid, high school kid. We wanted to be everything the 70s kids were not. We were the anti-70s crowd.
Wait a minute.
We cut our hair short. We wore polo shirts. We did everything. They did not, everything anti-70s. I think you'll see that.
I'm not taking offense to any of this. Just throwing that out there.
You have opportunities.
Somehow they keep redistributing the millennial thing. And remember, I grew up in Iowa. We're 10 years behind. So
they said the same thing about the baby boomers back when they were, they were the ruined generation.
Yeah.
We have people here that have opted out. It wasn't our choice, so we're opting out. But anyway, the point was, don't make bets on the demise of commercial real estate. Don't do it quite yet.
It'll make a swing.
So buy a building.
Just the question is, it's not whether or not to buy a building. It's
When you time it.
Yeah, it's all about timing. Math, we're back to math world, so about timing, right, Matt?
Pick all your money in acquisition.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Well, anybody have any questions? Anything else to add, Matt? Anything we need to... Okay. Thank you, Matt. I better bring up my agenda so I'll know where I am next.
You kind of varied off of that a little bit.
I learned a lot, actually.
Think you're on budget?
Yep, around budget.
Okay. But I think we can address that.
you need me to zoom in or out, let me know. Adjust it however you need. And so this was estimating another $100,000 contribution to the permanent fund for the 2022 budget year. Pretty much followed through with what we had the previous year with expenses.
Are we okay on the audit? I know the audit, we had some additional expenses because we had to make Dave happy on a couple of things. I got the impression that increase was going to be, we were going to see that increase. They were going to have to spend some extra time on the audit.
This next year? Okay. So then
they had to, Kathy needed to review our numbers.
Oh, that's right.
On a more frequent basis, based on
gap.
Dave wanted, so I think we need to maybe reach. We need to check that to make sure. I think our audit will be a little more than what we budgeted last year because of that. You remember that?
Yes.
He wanted to meet certain qualifications. He wanted Kathy to review our numbers. More than quarterly, or?
Yes, I think so.
And so they were going to have to charge us a little extra money for that.
That was Ide, not the audit. So the audit would stay the same, but Ide's money would go up, right?
That's correct. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong number. Yes, Ide Bailey's number would go up. I'm sorry. But we still need to look at that number.
Which is. We literally are talking about a dozen transactions.
Yeah, it's make work. It really is make work.
Which we thought the audit would go quicker this year because we did switch, so they had to have the history, so we thought it wouldn't take nearly as long, especially with going to quarterly meetings for it.
Yeah.
But.
Maybe next time you see Dave, don't drive over his foot with your car.
Right, that's right.
That would be nicer to Dave.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I thought you guys could turn the screws to him a little bit. You know, we don't really have to do this audit at all. If you wanted to,
I was shocked.
Cut us a deal.
Doesn't seem like the joking.
It is. That is just an amazing amount of money to look at the. There's nothing.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
Well, maybe.
And our controls are so
try to negotiate that. I mean, I can't imagine it's that much work.
There's no cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no accruals. There's no depreciation. There's no amortization. There's nothing to argue about.
So that would fall on contract labor. Sorry, I hit the down wrong.
Oh no, that's fine.
Rabbit hole, but so that would adjust our contract labor.
But not
and then
audit.
We wondered if because we were going to quarterly meetings, if that, because we'd be really
that's
working
true.
A whole lot, if that would balance out.
That's true, but you guys are kind of on a fixed number, aren't you, Chris?
It's really just whatever you guys need in terms of services. I mean, if you have fewer meetings, that's less of my time here.
Okay.
I wouldn't expect spending a lot more.
So maybe the R stays there.
I see my services as directly proportional to how much activity you guys have. If you have less money, less need for me.
Okay. So we're probably okay. Insurance, it was up a little bit?
The insurance was up, and that's probably the question one is, I think it'll probably be up again.
I just got a quote for insurance on our HOA, it was $5,500 a year. Insurance was just gonna go up. We've got room in our budget, so you might wanna
bump it up. Like 27?
Yeah, I think
okay. So.
I think we can almost bet on it.
Yeah.
we're still within our operating.
I think that Anvil points disbursement row needs to be erased.
Go away. That was a one-off.
That was a true one-off. And it's a painful reminder. If you don't.
Yes, that's right. Well, we should have that new jail. Don't we have that new jail now?
Don't even ask.
We gave the money to the county.
The county
strong-armed you guys.
Strong-armed us for some money to build a new jail.
Well, I remember that, but they're not building the jail, I guess. I'm glad. That's the prime of our grandeur right there. We have a jail right there. They're going
to
expand it.
I imagine they'll get around to it eventually, but...
Probably good by then, that money will be... I guarantee you that loan money is down some other rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Any other
sore subject
concerns on that? So we can approve it based on those changes, right?
Yeah.
Those were painful meetings.
They were. It was tense.
That was the longest 6 months of my life.
I mean, every single meeting, the same things were said by the same people.
And then I had to turn it into meeting minutes. Then I had to listen to it over and over and over.
No, you can tell. Pat Coleman was told to turn the screws to us. There's no question.
My wife had to listen to it over and over and over again. Sorry.
No, it was painful. It was painful for everybody.
So other than...
So I have increased insurance, take off Anvil points. Anything?
Yeah, how much were you going to increase insurance by?
I was going to increase it to $2,700 for the insurance.
Yeah.
I don't see anything else I'm concerned about. Are you correct?
No.
Okay.
And then grants.
Yeah, you've got your unpaid.
Yeah, and it was the same amount that we'd had.
Oh, should that go up? Based on what was, no.
I think it should be down, because its grants to be awarded was 400. I don't think that's right. Is that
okay.
Right? 2021. Oh, we don't have grants to be awarded.
Not yet.
In here. Oh, whoops. So... We had $350,000 this year, same for next year.
I don't see how we can do anything differently.
We're just right there.
We're limited.
Okay.
If we're going to make a contribution to the permanent fund, and I hope we do, we don't have a lot of room.
Nope.
And I should add, I did not receive any public comment.
Mm-hmm.
We did the paper announcement, and it's been posted online. So we haven't received any public
comment.
Most
special districts don't get public comment. It's
just for the record, though,
yeah.
In case anybody's wondering.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
a really worthwhile thing to note here.
Have we ever gotten any negative public comments from the permanent fund?
No.
I think early on, didn't...
I think maybe one of the ladies...
Our general public commenters commented.
Janice Johnson, is that who it was? I think she maybe did at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But then, since then, we've never gotten any.
Now they're kind of on board with that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Toward the end, they're never kind of on board. So.
Mm-hmm.
It was their idea.
Yep. Okay.
Is this third year for you?
Yeah.
So that's a good reminder to the county, because they're really kind of behind on that stuff anymore.
Yeah, with their turnover too, they just had another person.
There's been a few times where didn't know what we were supposed to do,
right,
because they hadn't acted. So you might, if you don't mind, please reach out to them and say,
okay,
we got a commissioner that wants to renew for another 3 years.
Okay. Is yours?
No, him.
Okay, I was just gonna look real quick because I have the dates listed on the website too.
When do they have that?
January.
Is when they go through.
You'll have to take,
Wants to stay the course. Stay the course. 1,000 points away.
Why are you so worried about the county?
No, actually, Quint, you're on till 2024.
Oh.
Oh.
Wah, wah.
And
I'm?
2023.
So did I finish out somebody?
Yeah, you filled in for David. You were appointed for David, and then you were.
That's right. When he
remember that meme
ascended,
where he offered to buy you a drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so we're okay.
I'll pull up the thing, but I pulled the numbers from the.
That's right, because I had to be reappointed after David's term was up.
Yeah, because you and Janet came on, like your appointments were around the same time. Mm-hmm. As she started this year.
That's right. Back to the budget, we need to have that approved by
December
31st.
We don't have a scheduled December meeting.
We don't.
So can we go ahead and approve with those
with the changes?
You can.
So the changes I have listed are to increase the insurance to 2,700, erase Anvil points line, and for the grants for 2022 to be $350,000.
I move for the approval of the final approval of the 2022 budget as amended.
I will second that. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Get that done. We don't want to have a special meeting just to do it, but we had to do that last year.
Yes, we did.
We don't want to have a meeting just to have a.
So the last thing is the finalization of the fall grant award contracts. So I sent over the contracts and the budget and all that stuff in the packet. So they have signatures on their ends. So if you guys are okay with approving the contracts, we'll get your signature, Clint, and they will be fully executed contracts.
And your motion to approve those contracts?
I move to approve the contracts.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
So move.
Second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Meeting adjourned at 4:00.